There's something very powerful about receiving an unexpected gift. I'm not talking about some of the gifts that you might have received at Christmas that offered you the opportunity to practice your best acting skills as you sought to express gratitude for something that you knew you'd never use. Gifts that reminded you to be thankful for the thought behind the gift, or gifts which you were glad for which there was a return receipt. No, I'm talking about a truly special gift, one that reflects a deep knowledge and appreciation for you, one that took a lot of thought and perhaps effort, one that made you feel truly special. Perhaps you're thinking about this special gift, or perhaps you can't really identify such a gift. Thinking about this could be painful because you might feel like somehow you were left out or overlooked. This can be really painful. It reminds us about not being invited to somebody's birthday or perhaps being chosen last for a sports team. But I want to announce to you that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have already received the most precious gift ever, one that is uniquely suited for you and you alone, one that reflects the very best in you, parts of you that maybe you don't even know yet. This precious gift is the spiritual gift that was given to you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. This is a unique gift that was intended just for you. It is the most special gift that you have and will ever receive. Now, there is often a lot of confusion or even ignorance about spiritual gifts. So today I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to try to answer your top 10 questions about spiritual gifts. And I love top 10 lists. I brought a visual aid here, top 10 in London. I have a whole bunch of these. I love these things. I like lists that just, you know, make it easier. So you might be thinking that you didn't know that you had a top 10 list about questions of spiritual gifts, but I'm guessing that you may have wondered about even just one of these questions that I want to address, or maybe two. And since 10 is a lot to remember, that's why we have the handout. We'll post it on the website or make it available in the e-update for those who are joining live stream. So we're going to start with a question that probably isn't your number one question, but it's an important place to start first, so here we go. Where do we find passages about spiritual gifts in the Bible? And I always like to tell people it's pretty easy. Just remember 12:12:4:4, which translates into Romans 12. I've given you the references, the verse numbers there. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 5, Ephesians 4. I can do it. 12:12:4:4. I can count. Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. We're going to focus a little bit more on 1 Corinthians 12, but I'll draw from the other passages along the way. Okay. So now let's start with question number two, which is probably actually your question number one. What are spiritual gifts? In our passage this morning, Paul calls these manifestations of the Spirit. This means that spiritual gifts are a unique expression or manifestation of the Spirit. In the same passage, Paul aligns aspects of spiritual gifts with each member of the Trinity, beginning in verse 4. He begins by stating that there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service or different types of ministries, but the same Lord. Finally, there are different kinds of workings, or we might say effects or even results, but the same God. In a similar way, the discussion in Ephesians 4 has the same Trinitarian focus. So there are some important truths I want to tease out of this second question. First, spiritual gifts are diverse. We'll come back to this quite a bit, but just now note that there are different gifts. Second, notice that gifts are manifest in different ministries. This means that the same gift can be found in diverse ministries. For example, someone with a teaching gift might lead a Bible study with just one other person. while someone else with a teaching gift might teach in a much larger context, say Sunday school or a weekly adult Bible study. Finally, notice that there are different effects. And as I said, we might call these different results with various gifts. To stay with the teaching gift, someone like John Stott was given a global ministry by the wisdom of God. Others may faithfully exercise a teaching gift, impacting only a small church or perhaps a prison Bible study. The key point here is that spiritual gifts are unique manifestations of the Spirit, given for various types of ministries and having various kinds of results, all under the wisdom and grace of the triune God. So this leads us to question number three. Who has spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are present in those who are filled with the Spirit, which is everyone who has put their faith in Jesus and calls upon him as Lord. It's really interesting that each of the four passages discuss spiritual gifts by emphasizing that each one in the body of Christ has been given a gift. This means everyone in Christ has a spiritual gift. Absolutely no one is left out. That's why I started by stressing how precious this gift is. It's uniquely suited to you, chosen by the triune God who knows you better than anyone else and who delights in giving you this unique expression of his very self. So if you think that you don't have a spiritual gift, that is simply not possible. So this leads us to our fourth question. Aren't spiritual gifts just the same as natural talents? This is an important question. Some people think that spiritual gifts and natural talents are the same. They might look at somebody who is a gifted teacher and claim that this is just reflects how the person was wired. Or they might look at a talented musician and conclude the same thing. But it is important to distinguish between natural talents and spiritual gifts. There can be overlap, to be sure, but the effect is different. There can be a naturally talented musician who does not have the effect of leading God's people into worship. Similarly, there are great teachers in many universities, but this isn't the same as someone who is gifted by the Spirit to teach the Word of God to the people of God. In fact, I've experienced some believers with a teaching gift who are not particularly eloquent, but they are effective. That's because the Spirit is using their gift for the building up of the body. So spiritual gifts are not the same thing as natural talents, mainly due to the impact or the effect of a spiritual gift. So this might make us wonder about the fifth question. What are the types of spiritual gifts? That's another good question. There are some people who limit spiritual gifts only to those explicitly mentioned in the Bible. I've listed those on the handout. And you can see that 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 have lists of various gifts, whereas Ephesians 4, we find a list that is better understood as offices, such as apostle, prophet, evangelist, or pastor-teacher. Those kind of one the same. Finally, in 1 Peter 4, gifts are simply distinguished between speaking and serving gifts. On the other end of the spectrum, there are those who call just about anything a spiritual gift, including the spiritual gift of finding parking places. I don't have it. I think that the truth is the proverbial somewhere in between. I don't think we're limited to just the inventory found in these four passages, but I think that spiritual gifts align with these categories. For example, hospitality isn't directly mentioned, but I tend to think of hospitality as creating a space where the Spirit can work. So that could touch upon encouragement, teaching, giving, wisdom, or many other types of spiritual gifts. I don't want to limit the Spirit, so I'm more open to many more spiritual gifts than are just those explicitly listed. Now, a few comments about some of those lists. First, tongues. Nothing controversial here, right? I've seen this gift used as a powerful encouragement and expression of the Lord's presence. I've also seen the abuse of this gift, including being told that I could not possibly be a believer because I didn't speak in tongues. That's clearly wrong because no one gift is intended for every single believer. And second, and related to this, I think that the office type of gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, are used to help the rest of the body discover and release their gifts. These gifts are used to shepherd the flock and to guard against misuse. Finally, I think that the distinction between speaking and serving gifts may be the most helpful. These are broad categories that cover much of the ministry of the church. It also seems to me that there can be clusters of gifts, such as mercy and service, or encouragement and teaching, or wisdom and preaching. And also keep in mind, as I said, gifts are expressed in very different ways. So there really is a unique gift and expression of that gift in each and every believer. Closely related to the types of gifts is the question number 6, which is, are there some gifts that are no longer operational? This mainly concerns apostles and prophets. There's a lot of debate about whether these gifts are still operational today or if they were merely intended for the foundation of the church. Think the 12 apostles. My personal view is that there are people who are gifted as a small a apostle, and these are people who are gifted to lay the foundations of new ministries or to bring the gospel into an unreached area. I think the same is true about prophecy. This is not prophecy that's bringing about new revelation about God, but I think that the Spirit can prompt a person to offer an exhortation about some aspect of God's justice and truth the group of people need to hear at a particular time. But I've also seen the abuse of this gift, including people who have various words from the Lord that really don't align with the Spirit. Okay, let's shift our focus a bit for question number 7. What analogy does Paul give for spiritual gifts? And this is such a great analogy because every single one of us is intimately aware of this analogy. Paul uses the human body to illustrate the diversity of unity of spiritual gifts. It's an amazing analogy. It's almost as if it were God-inspired. In the remaining part of 1 Corinthians 12, after the passage that was read this morning, Paul develops this analogy. The entire body cannot be an eye, or an ear, or a leg, or even a heart. Instead, each part of the human body is knit together so that every part needs every other part. As Paul says in verse 20, there are many parts, but one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Everyone has a gift, and every gift is needed. No one has all the gifts, and there is not anyone who has not been given a gift. Just like the diversity of the parts in a human body, so also the diversity of gifts in the body of Christ. But even with many diverse, uniquely expressed gifts, there is still one body of Christ. Praise be to God. So this leads us to question number 8. What's the purpose of spiritual gifts? In short, the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body so that it might become mature. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12, spiritual gifts are for the common good of the body. They show us how much we need each other. We cannot become the fullness of the person that God wants us to be individually without the full complement of gifts in the body of Christ. This begins right here in our local church, Church of the Redeemer, but it extends to our cosmic organic connection to the universal church, extending in time and throughout the world. Ephesians 4 talks about Christ ascending and filling the entire universe. This is the context when Paul talks there about Christ giving gifts to the body. So Christ fills the entire universe when his body is maturing and growing in the knowledge of him through the gifts that he has given to his people. These precious gifts are how he accomplishes his purpose of filling the universe with the knowledge of his love and glory. These gifts enable the body to witness to the world about the love of Christ through gifts of evangelism, mercy, service, and encouragement. Put simply, spiritual gifts are the way that God accomplishes his mission for the church. So with this in mind, let's consider number 9. How do we find our spiritual gifts? I love this question. As you're going to see, I love is no pun intended. It's no coincidence that 1 Corinthians 12 is followed by the extended discussion of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Similarly, the discussion of spiritual gifts in Romans 12 is followed by a discussion of love. I think this is the key to finding our gifts. Our gifts are how we love the body of Christ. So we begin by paying attention to how we are burdened to love one another. Some here express their love by showing up each Sunday to ensure that coffee and treats are ready after the service. This creates a space where we get to know each other and to minister to each other. Some are burdened to show up and make sure that the sidewalks are salted so that no one slips. Amen. Some are burdened to lead in worship. Some are burdened to teach and preach. So we begin to find our gifts when we pay attention to how we are burdened to love the body and listen to how the body receives our love. I learned this lesson in rather a funny way many years ago. A few years after graduating from college, I went on a summer mission trip that included a stay in Amsterdam. This was with Youth with a Mission. I don't know how many know Youth with a Mission, but it's an evangelistic group that also disciples young people. And the group is very much focused on evangelism. On one outreach event, we walked through some of the rough parts of the inner city of Amsterdam, following someone who was carrying a large cross. We stopped at a crowded plaza where someone began to share the gospel. I had a friend on this trip who was one of the most gifted evangelists that I have ever met. And so I was determined to watch Dudley like a hawk and to follow the example of what he did so that I could be an evangelist, because I thought this is what I was supposed to do. Now, I learned a lot watching him. For example, he spent quite a bit of time walking around the crowd simply praying. He was waiting for the Spirit to prompt him. That is a really good idea. As he was walking around, I was somewhat annoyed by something that was going on just behind me. I was getting very distracted. I could hear some other team members struggling to speak English. With the hope of getting rid of this distraction, I offered to help since I spoke English. As it turned out, there was a young man who was traveling through Europe for an extended time period. Kind of a free spirit, actually. He had become a believer a few months earlier, but had never received any instructions in the basics of faith. We had little less than an hour before he had to catch a train. So I took him through various passages in the Bible, explaining things like the assurance of his salvation, the confession of sin, spiritual gifts, and many other things. The time flew by, and it seemed very natural for me to talk to him about these things. When he left, I went back to watching Dudley like a hawk, somewhat frustrated that I had missed my opportunity to learn how to be an evangelist. Then something hit me. What I had just done was like breathing for me, and it was because of the burden I felt for this young man. That was how I began to recognize how the Spirit had gifted me. We're all called to give an account for our faith. But we are not all gifted as evangelists. It was good to learn this and to see the beauty of the body of Christ. So I believe love is what prompts the expression of the gifts that the Lord has given to us. I also believe that love is what keeps us from misusing our gifts, or either becoming proud or insecure about the way that we've been gifted. We're all gifted, and we need everyone else's gifts. The love of God releases our gifts for the building up of the body. This leads to our final question. Are gifts rights? Or perhaps, do we have a right to exercise our gifts? This might seem like a strange question, but sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where our gifts might not be welcomed. I want to share quickly how I learned an important lesson about this. In 1995, I joined an American couple to go to Romania to teach college students. Rich and I would split the teaching, and Marty, Rich's wife, would meet with students one-on-one based on her gifting. Long story short, the Romanian pastor did not think that women should teach men. So he found ways to preempt my teaching sessions and to keep me from teaching. When we asked him about this directly, he admitted that he did not intend to let me teach. You can imagine how frustrating this was for me. So as I do in all life situations that are frustrating, I went for a long walk in the beautiful hills around the area we were staying. And as I was speaking to the Lord, I did not hold back my anger and frustration about this situation. But at some point, I heard a gentle voice that said simply, "Gifts are not rights." It was a gift. If the gift was not welcome, then I did not have the right to demand the expression of it. As it turns out, we were in a small village with lots of kids, including, miraculously, a teenage boy who spoke English. I looked at all of these kids and I thought, what's to prevent me from teaching them? We can do a vacation Bible study right here, VBS, right here, right now. And so we did, every single day. I will never know the impact that this had on those kids. But I am confident in the Spirit that there was spiritual fruit. Perhaps some kids came to know Jesus. Perhaps others were spiritually encouraged. I know that I learned an important lesson. Since then, I've only let the Spirit lead me into the opportunities to teach or preach. It has set me free to know that the Spirit will lead me to places where He wants to use the gifts that He's given me. So there it is. Your top 10, I don't know if it's going to come out in a DK volume, your top 10 burning questions about spiritual gifts, hopefully raised and maybe somewhat answered. So what can you take away? There's a lot here. So what can you take away? I think first what I really want to stress is that every believer has been given an extraordinary, precious gift that is given to them uniquely by the Spirit. This gift is more precious than any other gift we have ever received. It is the expression of the Spirit of God in our lives. Second, spiritual gifts are discovered and released through the love of God poured out in us. Spiritual gifts are the expression of the love of God that He has for each one of us and each other. Third and finally, we need the body of Christ, and the body of Christ needs us. No one can say that they don't have a gift. Each one of us needs to realize that the body cannot become fully mature without all of the gifts. This is how God is accomplishing His cosmic mission for the church throughout the world. Amen.